Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Just wrestle with the thing a little. Is anyone feeling encouraged this morning? Yeah. Yeah. I feel very encouraged just enjoying worship. My heart today is to encourage you further. So if you're feeling encouraged, my heart is that you'll be even more encouraged. If you're not quite feeling encouraged, that you would start to feel encouraged. That is my heart very much this morning. So we are in a preaching series called Healthy Church. And we as a leadership team feel that this is really important for us to spend time on and really to wrestle with and understand what does it mean to be a healthy church? We think this is really, really important because sadly, there's too many examples where church has not been healthy and the result is people get hurt. And that's not what it should be all about. The church is not a place where people's lives get devastated and ripped apart. The church is a place where we are Jesus' hands and feet, where we love each other well, where we see life breakthrough, not pain, misery, and hardship. Amen? Amen? So that's why we're doing this. So the way we're doing this is we're taking a bit of a journey through Hebrews chapter 13. We're also dabbling into other parts of Hebrews, amazing book. If you're not reading anything in the Bible at the moment, read the book of Hebrews, it's absolutely fantastic. Spoiler alert coming, at the very center of the chapter we're looking at and the passage we're going to be looking at today, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and at the center of a healthy church is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about Jesus, and so that is what we're going to be looking at. It's not about people's agendas. It's not about people's insecurities or empire building. It's none of that stuff. Jesus is at the center of a healthy church, and so that's what we're going after today. So throughout the book of Hebrews, the author is seeking to passionately persuade people who are from a Jewish background that Jesus is greater. That he's saying very clearly that Jesus is greater than Moses. He's saying very clearly that Jesus is greater than the Old Covenant. He's saying that Jesus is greater, more significant than the tabernacle. And we're going to look at something today about Jesus being greater than any of the high priests. That, as Ian said a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus is both our great high priest. There's either a mouse under here or it's... Jesus is our great high priest, but he's also the sacrifice. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit today. So that is the theme for today. Jesus is greater. Amen? Yeah. Jesus is greater. And at the center of a healthy church has to be Jesus at the center of everything. So why don't we pray together? Lord God, we just want to thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you so much that you are stirring our hearts, that you are bringing encouragement and you are strengthening us today. Jesus, would you just continue to do that, we pray. We humbly come to you now as we look at your word. Lord, would you prepare our hearts to receive your word? Encourage us as we study your word together. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you could open them up to Hebrews 13, and we are going to be in verses 9 to 14. So I'm going to start reading this. Verse 9 starts off. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Now, I'm going to read that bit again. And when I say strengthened by grace, I'm going to encourage you guys to say it with me, strengthened by grace. Okay, so here we go. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have a city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. This is a fascinating bit of scripture with a whole bunch of stuff in there. So what I'm going to attempt to do today is tackle it in three ways. To start with, we're going to have a look at some of the historical context. What is he talking about here? Some of the sacrificial system. Just give a little bit of an overview, try and understand what he's talking about there. There's a really key thing here about being strengthened by grace. We're going to explore a little bit what that means, but the important thing of why. It's always good to ask the why question. Why do we need to be strengthened by grace? Why do you need to be strengthened by grace? Why do I need to be strengthened by grace? Do you need to be strengthened by grace? Yeah, it is a good question. I was hoping someone might answer that point. Do you feel you need to be strengthened by grace?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. We're in the right room. And then we're going to go on to see how do we allow our hearts to be strengthened by grace. So that is the plan that we're going with today. So diving straight into the historical context, we're going to look again, verse 11 and 12, to try and understand the significance of what the writer is saying. So in verse 11, it's referencing the Day of Atonement. This is a sacrifice, very special sacrifice, you can read about in Leviticus 16. I'd encourage you this week, go away, read the whole chapter, Leviticus 16. I will give you a very brief overview according to my understanding. It is a very significant sacrifice that happened once a year in Old Testament times. What happened was the high priest, and he alone, would sacrifice a bull and he would sacrifice a goat. And he would take the blood from the sacrifices into the altar, into the tabernacle, and the blood would go onto the altar. This was such a significant yearly sacrifice that would happen once a year, and it was different from the other sacrifices. It was different in two main ways. The first way is that it was only the high priest that could do it. When we look at other sacrifices in the Old Testament, we see that many priests are involved in the sacrificing. It's only the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The second thing is that on the other sacrifices, the priest could often take part of the animal to eat. This was not to happen on this one because this is set apart. This is something different. This is all about the forgiveness of sins. This is all about the atonement for the sins, the things that the people have done wrong, is an essential sacrifice. So if we look again at the verse, starting at looking at 11 and 12 again, it says, the high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. So again, he's coming into the tabernacle. The blood comes into the most holiest of place. Only the high priest can do it. But the bodies are burned outside of the camp. Then the writer goes on to make this amazing parallel with the Day of Atonement and with Jesus. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. This can only be done by the high priest. The writer is being so clear here that atonement, forgiveness of sins, only comes through Jesus. There is no other way of it happening. Jesus is our high priest, and as Ian said a couple of weeks ago, he's our high priest, but he's also our sacrifice. It is absolutely amazing that Jesus does all of this stuff. So as we kind of understand that a little bit, the author here is really saying, look at the Day of Atonement, look how Jesus meets all of those things that you don't need to sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, that is actually in the blood of Jesus. This helps us to expand out and understand the rest of the passage. So in verse 10, it says this, we have an altar which those who minister in the tabernacle have no right to eat. This altar is the cross of Jesus. This is where Jesus was sacrificed. This is where his blood was spilled. And when he's saying that those who work in the tabernacle have no right to eat, what he's saying is if people are still going and sacrificing, what they're saying is they don't need Jesus. That actually, they're still going on the sacrificial system, so they've essentially rejected Jesus, so they can have no part in his grace. Their hearts cannot be expected to be strengthened by grace if they're still going under the sacrificial system. This is what he's talking about. This would be a very hard teaching. I want you to try and think about if you were a Jewish person of that time, that your family, your culture, everything is built around your relationship with God. The whole nation's identity is built about our relationship with God, and how we get right with God and how our sins are forgiven is through the sacrificial system. So this could be a really, really hard teaching to understand. This is what you've grown up with. This is, you're familiar with it. It's your whole way of life, your whole way of thinking. And what the writer here is saying is, that's not how you get right with God. How you get right with God is through Jesus and his grace. So for people who have experienced that in that time, in that culture, that would be a massively challenging situation. For them to have encountered Jesus and go, oh yeah, I've experienced his grace, but there's still this pull, maybe, this cultural pressure, this pull to go back to what they were doing. So the writer to the Hebrews, what he's really saying is, guys, you don't need to go back to the old Jewish customs because we've been set free by grace. It's very hard sometimes for us to let go of things of the past. Have you found that? That in this situation, this example I'm giving you here, this is a cultural thing, this has been a family thing, it's been an identity thing. But there's this big change that has happened. Jesus has come, so that is not needed anymore. But sometimes it's hard for us to let go of things of the past. And even if it's a good thing to walk away from the things of the past, it can be really, really hard. How does the writer to the Hebrews tell them that they can walk free of things of the past is with their hearts strengthened by grace. When you think about your heart being strengthened by grace, when I was considering that over the last few weeks, what I was really thinking about was that speaks about courage. If you think about, I need my heart strengthened, that's the thing of courage, isn't it? And as a church, we want to be a courageous people. We want to be a courageous church. And I think the writer is really identifying here and really hitting the nail on the head that if people are going to walk away from things of the past and walk into a future with Jesus, that takes an enormous amount of courage. And so for all of us today, if we've got things of the past we need to walk away from, that takes courage. And so we need to have our hearts strengthened by grace, by what Jesus has done in us and through us. That means we're strong enough to walk away from the things of the past. And so I wonder, even as I'm saying this morning, for each of us, are there things that are coming to mind? Things of our past that we think, do you know what? That shadow still looms large. And I don't feel fully free of it. And I know I need to walk away from that. And I wonder if today that this is a step in that direction of walking away from something of the past and walking a step closer to Jesus. And we'll come on to the how in a little while, but I want to explore the why a little bit more. Why? Why do we need our hearts strengthened by grace? We've already had a little look here that if we're walking away from things of the past, that takes courage, and so we need to be full of courage. Our hearts need to be strengthened to walk away from things of the past. But why else would we need courage? Why else would we need to be filled with grace? I just want to remind us of the journey we've been on already through Hebrews 13, of the hit the headlines of each of the things that we've looked at. So hopefully it'll be, oh yeah, here we go. So keep loving one another as brothers and sisters. This is a work of grace. This is not through our own strength. We want to be a healthy church that loves each other. Of course, amen, but that's not done through our own strength. That it can only be done through a work of grace in our lives. To show real love to each other, to really have that family feel, has to be a Holy Spirit inspired, has to be a grace work in our hearts. That if we appreciate what Jesus has done in us, then we want to just lavish that love on each other. Amen? Felt like an amen moment. And what about welcoming the strangers in? People who are new amongst us. What about extending fellowship and friendship to new people, to different people, people from different backgrounds? I would suggest that's a work of grace in us. As we receive and we enjoy and we appreciate God's goodness and his grace to us, that we show love and compassion and understanding to people of all backgrounds. What about this one? Continue to remember those who are in prison, people who are oppressed, people who are trodden down, the least, the last, and the lost. That takes an act of grace, doesn't it? That as we appreciate what Jesus has done for us, that we want to lavish love and grace to people who are struggling. And that we should have eyes that are just so open to people who are struggling. Go, how can we help those people as an act of grace in our lives? This is not about anything that we do in our own strength ever, but as an act of appreciation and grace. How about marriage? Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. This is us saying that actually we're going to do marriage Jesus' way, not the world's way. So that takes courage. That takes the determination to say, no, this is the decision we've made, and so this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to conduct ourselves within marriage, because we're going to do it the Jesus way, but that's not because we're struggling like we're wading through treacle. We do it joyfully because our hearts are filled with grace and our hearts are strengthened by grace. Why else? What about this last one? Keep your lives free from the love of money. Is your heart strengthened by your bank balance or by grace? I think that's a particularly important one. Where is our reliance? Is it on grace and what Jesus has done for us? Or is it, actually, no, I'm feeling quite good because the bank balance is in a good state right now. So the why question is very much linked to, actually, God has got so much for us to do. He knows he's got so much for us to do. We want to be a healthy church, but to do those things, that has to be done fueled by grace, by our hearts being strengthened by grace, by us being full of courage and determination. We're going to do it Jesus' way, not the world's way. And once again, to ask the why question and coming back to Hebrews 13 and picking up verse 13, the final one, the why question is this: let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. We need to be full of courage to be identified with Jesus at times when the world wants to reject Jesus. So when the world wants to reject Jesus and his teachings are unpopular, for us to take a stand and say, no, no, we're standing with Jesus on that. Even though some of the things that he taught would not be very fashionable right now, we need to have courage to do that. And that is not a bloody-mindedness, oh, I'm just going to stand here and till the end of time. It's actually we're fueled by grace because we know what Jesus has done for us. We know he's set us free. We know that we're new creations. We know that we're spiritually alive. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and be identified with Jesus in all situations. It doesn't matter if it's popular or not. We need to be full of courage to be able to do that. In our workplaces, families, friends, you know, our culture around us changes its mind week to week, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. What seems to be acceptable this week will be unacceptable and cancelled next week. Okay? Jesus is not like that. It takes courage, strength of heart to say, no, just because culture's changed its mind on something, it doesn't mean that Jesus has changed. And so I'm going to do it the Jesus way. And we need to have strength of heart to do that. And it's grace that does that. Will we pray the prayer, Lord, I want to be strengthened, not for my enjoyment or uplifting or comfort, but to do the things that you have me to do. This is not about feeling good about ourselves. This is not a word of there, comfort. It's a word of we are strengthened to do the things that God would have us do. And that's why we need to be strengthened by grace. So how about the how? How do we have hearts that are strengthened by grace, full of courage to do his will for his glory? How do we do that? First of all, thanksgiving. And just linking back to what we said about understanding the historical context and the different sacrificial system, but for us, be full of thanksgiving, knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Jesus, thank you so much that you died for me. Thank you so much because of what you did, I am set free. Thank you, Jesus, because my identity is now in you. I'm a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. I've been taken from the rubbish heap and I've been brought into the royal family of King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. As we give thanks for what he's done and we appreciate grace and we just say, thank you, God. It's so amazing that I am now a new creation. I can walk away from the things of the past and I can walk towards you, Jesus, because of what you've done and I can celebrate that. Because he has atoned for our sin, he has set us free. And when we stand before the Father, we stand as people who are righteous. Not because of anything we've done, because of everything Jesus has done. So how do we have our hearts strengthened and encouraged by grace? Firstly, we're thankful for it. We realize the amazing, beautiful, incredible gift of grace. And we say, thank you, Jesus. This is the defining point of my life. This is absolutely life-changing. The first thing would be thanksgiving. The second thing I'd like to suggest is humility. I love what Freedom in Christ says about humility, how it describes humility. It says that humility is confidence properly placed in God. So what that means is that if our confidence is correctly and squarely on God and not on ourselves, that's real humility. Because we're saying it's not about us, it's about God. Real humility. I'm going to just read something that Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Humility is absolutely essential in a healthy church. Humility is absolutely essential for us to have our hearts strengthened by grace. Now, I'm not of the Paul level of faith where I'm delighting in my hardships just yet, but the concept is amazing, of course, that the sooner we get to the end of ourselves and in humility come to Jesus and say, God, I've got nothing. I mean, I've got nothing, Lord. I'm totally dependent on you. The quicker we get to that place, the better. Have you ever got to that place and then just kind of that place of surrender? And just, okay, look, I'm just giving it over to you. I can't deal with it anymore. Why am I even trying? Have you got to that place of surrender? because that's the place that he's talking about. And Paul, in this passage, is talking about, he prayed three times over, would you take this away from me? Some commentators suggest that is just a metaphor for ongoing prayer, that once he's hit three times, that's just him saying he's ongoing asking God to take this thing away from him, whatever the thorn is. He's continually asking God to take it away from him. But God's response has been, my grace is enough for you. Now, sometimes God does take the burden away, but sometimes he strengthens us to carry the burden. And so it's in our weakness, from a place of weakness, of us going, we want to be a healthy church. We're not saying we are a strong church. That's not what we're saying. That would be a complete misunderstanding of what we're saying. We're a weak church, praise God. Who wants to be part of a weak church? We are a weak church because it's when we know our weakness, when we know our shortcomings, when we know our limitations, praise God, that's when we run to him and say, Jesus, we need you. Papa, we need you. Abba, we need you. When we have our prayer week next week, we're going running to the Lord. Lord, we need you. We're desperate for you. We're hungry and thirsty for more of you. That's when God's strength comes in that place of surrender. Have you reached that place of surrender yet? And humility. Because God is faithful. He never lets us down. And in that place of quiet surrender, just saying, okay, Lord, I can't do this anymore. His grace is enough. His grace is enough. Our hearts are strengthened by grace. We need to be humble. And the third way our hearts are strengthened by grace is looking to the future. Just picking back up the verse in Hebrews 13, the last bit I read, verse 14. For here we do not have a city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. We are not of this world. If you belong to Jesus, you are not of this world. You are of a world that is yet to come. That our destination, our final landing spot, our permanent place of residency is not here. This is just temporary. And if we have that mindset, and we have the mindset of we are here and it's about what is to come, we are going to be strengthened by grace. We know that it's the best is yet to come. And if we are not of this world, which we're not, if you're in Christ, you're not of this world, then a little question to ask us would be, why do we get so obsessed and overwhelmed by the things of this world? Because the truth is we're not of this world, but too often we get too overwhelmed by the hardships and the things that are going on, but we are not of this world. So a way for us to be strengthened is to be reminded of that and go, actually, it's not about what's happening right now in front of me. The big picture is glory. And just to bring this into land, maybe one of the best verses on this from Revelation 21, 4-7. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Wow. Jesus at the center of everything. Jesus is at the center of a healthy church. So if we want to be a healthy church, Jesus has to be at the center. I want to encourage us to consider some of the things that have been said today. What are the areas that we need our hearts strengthened by grace? Where do we need to? Is it even in loving each other? Is it in loving people outside of the church? How is it you need your heart strengthened by grace? Is it in your marriage? Is it in how you deal with your money? How do you need your heart strengthened by grace? Is it things of the past you need to walk away from? Walking into that future that we were just talking about, right there in the scripture, you need to walk away from stuff of the past. Yes, it happened and it was hurtful, but it's time to say, okay, it's another step away from that and another step towards this. How do you need to respond to this in your own hearts? Will you stand and pray with me? We just want to bring this into land. I'm going to invite the band to come. As I said right at the start, my heart is that you would have been encouraged today. That's what I was going for. So I hope that you've been encouraged. But what I want to encourage you to do very much is go and read some of the scripture for yourself that we've been talking about. Take time to read over these verses. Read over the other scriptures that we've brought. How can Jesus really be at the center? How can we be a people who are courageous, full of grace, motivated by grace? Not because we're doing it in our own strength, but we're doing it in God's strength and all for his glory. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for your amazing love for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the center of it all, that you are greater than it all, Lord God. You truly are greater than it all, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are both our high priest and the sacrifice that was offered. That is in you and you alone is the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And Lord, I pray that by that grace that is poured out for us, that our hearts will be strengthened and that we will do everything that you have got for us to do, Lord God, that we will be the church that you would have us be, Lord God, that we would go forward in your strength, not ours. We are weak, Lord God. We are weak, but it is in your strength, Lord God, we want to move forward. We love you, Lord Jesus. Be exalted now in our praises. Amen.